Good morning. I'm glad you're all here. When difficulties come, and they do, we're in trouble sometimes. It's critical that we understand, if we understand anything, that we are not an island. Each one of us are not an island. We are a congregation of people who have chosen to come together and to honor God Almighty and learn about Him in the process. And if we do that and we can follow that, we can get past a lot of things in our life. It's critical that we understand that we need each other. I remember, as many of you remember, when this building was full and overflowing. Do you remember some of those? Well, we're not there right now. But that doesn't mean that we can't still do what we do. If other people choose to go to other places, that's fine. I want people to be happy with where they are in their life with Christ, and I want us to be happy with our walk with Christ. It's critical that we understand this stuff. Romans 12, 1 to 21, that's where we stopped off last week. We may be several weeks on this. Paul says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance to the faith that God has distributed to each of us. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is generosity, let it be that. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above all yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep the spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need." Does that sound like something that would come right out of the Scriptures? When difficult times come and creep into our lives, try to distort us and move us, it tries to do that to move us away from our purpose before God. And we must muster the courage to face the issue and move ahead. Especially now, the climate in the United States, I can't tell you what's going on all over the other part of the world, but I can tell you some of the stuff that's going on in the United States right now is murdering churches. There's people who are not doing right. I know that, and you know that. You already know it. We've talked about it. But I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be a part about something that's alive, something that's working, something that you could reach back into as far back in the Old Testament as you wanted to and still find those kind of things that God wants us to do. There's a serious scripture in Ecclesiastes 4:12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Cord of three strands is not easily broken. When we seek help from seasoned believers, our lives together will become the cord of three strands that's not quickly broken. I want us to stay together, stay put where we belong, where we've lived and where we've loved for so long. When we seek help from seasoned believers, we want to give everything we have, give everything we've got, and bring it all together and let everybody taste that God is good. Paul dealt with difficulty every day of his life. The Apostle Paul did. Not just Paul, but Paul was a head and ringleader for a lot of that. He kept on doing that up until his death. No matter what came on him, no matter how many times he was beaten, and with how many lashes, so many times that he had things against him, but he kept going. Up until his death, he had much to say, and it'll help us all. 2 Corinthians 3:3-6, you show that you are a letter from Christ. You get mail at home, do you? You ever get one from God? That'd tickle you, wouldn't it? You show that you're a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent ministers of the new covenant. I want you to listen to that. He has made us competent as ministers of the new covenant. Now, is that for men or women? We would just almost be sure that that must not be right. Just a man can do that. These and other verses are important verses, written down and given to us so that we have the tools necessary to navigate all of the issues that come upon us as we travel through life. They're coming all the time. The Bible is a living, breathing testimony. It's not just a book, a good book that we ought to read. How many of you have read the Bible all the way through? Remember that it's impossible to trust what we don't know. And without it, we're walking and living blind. If you don't know where you're going, you're blind. Well, I know the old Bible. I was at a church one time. I went to a meeting, and I cannot remember where it was. It was somewhere in this part of the country. And this lady was just overrun at my preaching. I had never seen that since. She went all through that church house saying, he knows the whole Bible. He knows the whole Bible. He knows the whole Bible. Man, that all day, the whole time we were in that meeting over the nights we were there. This man knows the whole Bible. I'm going to tell you, she was wrong. Okay? But I can tell you, I have read that book from one end to the other many times. Now, I can't remember my name some days, but I know that book will never fail me. The verses and words of the Bible speak to each person as they read it. That's why it's necessary to read it. They can and will have heavy influence, by the way, on us if we allow these truths to come through us. Fellowship is a really big word because it's about relationship. Fellowship and relationship go hand in hand. God never threw us out there to walk the life of a believer alone. He never did that. We must surround ourselves with people who are secure in their belief, who have credible witness from the Scriptures as to why they believe what they believe. Well, I just know my daddy believed it and my grandpa believed it. I believe it too. Had never read a word. That don't go very far unless you've got a huge memory that you can remember everything. When we struggle through difficulty, the ones that you choose can be very helpful in navigating through the water, whatever difficulty that comes along, and help guide us along. One of the crucial issues we face is summed up in the word peace. We have songs about it. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh, we love peace, don't we? Well, we have to be at peace with those around us, and it's critical that we are at peace also with ourselves. Now, Satan, on the other hand, does not care what he tears up, and he'll take every opportunity to take it. He wants us to lose our focus. Especially during tough times, he wants us to lose it. That we can make a lot of bad decisions, which can most often lead us into the wrong direction. Have you ever got on an interstate and got the car going on the wrong direction? How'd that work for you? You know what you find yourself doing? Somewhere along the line, you're either going to go on right up to Michigan to come back to Louisiana, or you're going to turn around and make a change. Satan wants us to lose our peace so we can have his way and he can pull us away from Christ. I don't want that. If he's successful, he will win the war. And he has done it and is doing it in this country right now. A whole lot of places. If we just let it. If you're going through tough times, a difficult time, start paying close attention to when and if you're losing your peace. Because when you lose your direction, you lose your peace. Anybody in here would own up to this? Raise your hand when I say it. It's dark in your house, and you walked in the closet thinking you were in another place in the house. Anybody ever do that? You got a big closet, you can get lost in one of them. God wants us to know who we are and where we are. We cannot lose our peace. If you find that you're losing your peace, stop doing what you're doing and do whatever you have to do to regain the peace. That peace in the valley thing, though it's just a song, it has lots to say. Satan is a master at attacking peace, and he does it in the world, and he does it most especially among believers. Satan wants nothing to do with anything that we're doing good in this place. So it makes sense to know that Satan's trying to take us away. We must become motivated people with God's interest at heart. It would do us good to rehearse the Scriptures a bit, since we know that there are many who are not dedicated enough to read them consistently. Psalm 34, verse 8. Listen to these words. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 8. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind, and that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. That's powerful stuff. Here's one I love. Isaiah 40, 28, 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even the youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Does that sound like God's on our side? We have a God that we ought to be just running over, beaming, knowing that God, even in our wrongness, still loves us. Romans 8, 28 to 39, and as we all know, in all things, God works for good for those who love Him, who have been called to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined. Listen to that. Predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Did I just hear the Scripture plainly say that God will make us like the Christ? Will I be as pure as the Christ in the resurrection? Will I be that? For those God foreknew, He also predestined to conform to the image of Son, so that He might be the firstborn among the brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He justified. Those He has justified, He has glorified. Let me help you with justified. Here's the best word I know about this. Just as if I'd never sin. How would that be? Can you fathom that God takes your sin away? Can you fathom that? Justified. In other years, we had situations where people would come to the front. I'm not making fun. Everybody understand? Not making fun. But I remember time after time after time, you know, as the invitation song was singing, somebody would come up and the preacher would go down and meet with them and we'd shake the hand like that's going to do something. You know, God's going to slap us blind, something like that. But let me tell you this, if God cleans you up, He don't need no preacher to do it. He's got the power to do that and He will use it. I love it. I'm probably the worst guy in this house. Listen to this. What shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Is that sounding like God is in the giving business if we're in that covenant? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Is it God who justifies? Who then is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and interceding for us. And who can separate us from the love of Christ? Do you know you're in the best situation you could possibly have right now? Did Jesus Christ die so he just wanted to be dead? Or did he do it for a reason? Jesus gave his own life so that we could live. And I can tell you this, there's nobody that can separate you from the love of Christ. You got the best deal that ever came down. Do you know that? Now here's what I'm going to tell you. I serve a God who's on my side. I am a guy that don't get it right. I hang out in a church house with people that don't get it right. But I have a God that got it right. And the church said, Amen.